are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again with you on this Friday edition. We did not have a full mailbag show this week because of the Monday night football game. So today's show will, as usual on Friday, have the five keys to victory and beating those Cardinals Sunday. But the rest of the show will be dedicated to your questions that Nick and I on Thursday were able to get to two of the 100 questions that were out there on Twitter and email. So I'll try to get to a lot more of those today in the first couple of segments. You can find this program and all your favorite podcast apps, just like all the shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's the best place to get these mailbag questions in, or just head over to LockedOn49ers.com. I want to get this podcast out before the official end of week Friday afternoon injury report comes out, so some guesswork here as far as who will be available to play Sunday. George Kittle has been doubtful, did not practice until Thursday. The fact that George Kittle got a limited session in Thursday makes me think there's more hope than I think most people expect for Kittle to play Sunday. Emmanuel Sanders has not practiced with his rib injury. Coach said he was day-to-day earlier in the week. You would like to see him get a limited session in Friday, which would point toward a better possibility of him playing Sunday. Joe Staley will be out. It looks like DJ Jones will be out. Robbie Gould still not participating in practice as of Thursday. Matt Breida will be out with an ankle injury. Raheem Mostert limited. He's got a knee injury. Looks like he will be able to play and probably play a number two role to Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman not practicing Thursday, but that was not injury related. My guess is they just don't want to get him hurt accidentally in practice too. So keep Coleman on bubble wrap so you have your number one running back this week with Breida out being healthy in Coleman. Then you have Raheem Mostert working in there. I think that's what the 1-2 is going to look like most likely Sunday. If Kittle can't go, we'll probably see both Lavine Toilolo and Garrett Celek active. They were both limited participants in practice this week. Akella Witherspoon getting in a couple of limited practices this week. Kyle Shanahan said he needed to get three good practices in. I don't know if that means he needed to be a full participant in practice and really be 100%, which is what I took from his comments. So being limited, still up in the air whether or not Akella will be back. When he is 100%, though, he will get his starting job back at right corner. Not sure if it'll be this week or not. Azeez Al-Shaair limited Thursday. He's in concussion protocol from last week. Limited practices is what Kyle Shanahan wanted to see, if he needed to see three full practices from Akella Witherspoon this week to put him back in the lineup. And then Dante Pettis actually limited a little bit with a back injury, and I have my doubts whether or not he's going to play a ton anyway, based on Kyle Shanahan's comments. But then when it comes to the wide receiver usage, I never have any clue what Kyle Shanahan is going to do on Sundays. That's a good segue into some of these mailbag questions, and the biggest question that came out of Monday Night Football was the 49ers wide receiver group. When you don't have Emmanuel Sanders in there, how does it look? Who can you count on? And that's a tough question to answer. And that answer might be right now, nobody. Paul asks the question, is Dante Pettis J.J. Stokes 2.0? And that being, is he a bust? Because I think J.J. Stokes is the guy a lot of people point to. He's a first-round draft pick by the 49ers in 1995. And luckily, the 49ers the next year drafted a third-rounder by the name of T.O. And you kind of forget that J.J. Stokes was a disappointing player for a first-rounder. Right now, J.J. Stokes has had a better career than what Dante Pettis is doing in his first couple years. Stokes had 500 yards in his rookie year and four touchdowns. He was just, a big lumbering guy out of UCLA, kind of had tight end athleticism and nearly tight end size as well. I think he was 6'5", right? 6'4", 6'5", 220 pounds. But right now, but disappointing. And so I get the correlation there between Dante Pettis and J.J. Stokes, who's being pretty disappointing. I wouldn't put Dante Pettis there because, first of all, Stokes was a first-round draft pick. Dante Pettis, a second-round pick. I don't know if you can draft a second-round wide receiver and expect him to be like some true number one dominating type receiver. And we don't know what the end result of Dante Pettis is going to be. But yeah, the point stands that Dante's been disappointing. And publicly, Kyle Shanahan has talked about how disappointing he is. Tony wants to know, is he the new Glenn Coffey? So we're getting a lot of bust comparisons here. Glenn Coffey, the comparison there is that Coffey didn't care about football and basically just walked away from the whole thing. And I think that's the question. And I get where Tony's going with that, because J.J. Stokes was just, you know, drafted too high and was not athletic enough to separate at the NFL level. But he had some, you know, he was a good blocker. He was a big guy. You know, he was a big target. And he wasn't awful. He had 700 yards a couple times. He had an okay career. It was just disappointing because, you know, people want everybody to be the next Jerry Rice. He drafted first-round wide receiver. But Glenn Coffey's an interesting comparison. And no, he's not on either one of those guys. Like, very different than both those players. But I get where you're going here. Glenn Coffey walked away from it. And that's the question with Dante Pettis. Does he care enough? People have called him soft. I've called him, I don't want to say the dude's soft. He is a finesse player, though. I think that's fair. And he hasn't been able to win the ball through contact, which I think has been one of the biggest things. And just his attitude and the type of person he is, he seems like he'd be a fun guy to hang out with and play video games with and whatever. But does he have the dog in him? Does he care about football enough to put in the work and to become the player that he's talented enough to become? And Glenn Coffey walked away from the game because he didn't care about it. Does Dante Pettis care enough? I think that is a fair question to ask at this point. And a lot of times, that is the difference between a bad player and a good player, or a good player and a great player, is how much they care, how much work they're willing to put in, if they're willing to do everything it takes to be great at this one thing. And maybe Dante Pettis, his heart isn't fully into it. I don't know. But we'll see. He's still young. People questioned Akella Witherspoon just the same way, and he had a fantastic start to season number three, and sometimes it takes 3 years. So after next year, I think we'll really have a good idea of who Dante Pettis is right now. Disappointing, yes. Can you slap the bust label on him and say he's done and wash your hands with him? I don't think so. But if you're starting to look at some other options, I think you have to if you're the 49ers that are trying to go into the playoffs and go deep into the playoffs potentially. You need to find who your guys are. And if Dante Pettis right now is proving to not be one of those guys, then you have to move on to somebody else on the depth chart in the short term. More mailbag and keys to victory coming up. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. Every weekend, our favorite gridiron warriors put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same? We're almost halfway through the NFL season, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. Pick your locks for the week, put them together in one parlay bet, and when they all come out together on top, the rewards will be huge. The best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000 to bet at MyBookie. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your first deposit. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. BlueChew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Let's go to Duke. He says, is this a Super Bowl caliber team, or should we be happy with a winning record and just a playoff berth at this point? He also wants to know what went wrong in the run game. How does it get fixed? What went wrong on the O-line? How does it get fixed? So multiple questions from Duke. Let's see if I can hit all of these. Is this a Super Bowl caliber team? I think anybody that can win eight straight games in the NFL is a Super Bowl caliber team. I've seen, I think, worse teams talent-wise than the 49ers win the Super Bowl. It's what, you know, what is the calling card? I think the closest thing I can think of for the 49ers, so this, okay, remember like the Trent Dilfer Ravens or the Joe Flacco Ravens? Those teams weren't led necessarily by their quarterbacks, but their quarterback was good enough at the time with a defense that dominated, and they had some other things going on in their favor as well on the roster. Those were good teams. The 49ers are a good team overall. Their defense is flat out dominating. And every time you see a stat about the 49ers defense, they're like, as far as modern defenses go, the last 20 years, they're with the best of the best. It's crazy how good their defense has been. And they will keep them in every single football game. So can the offense do enough with that dominating defense? Can the defense continue to be that dominating is the question. I think it's a great recipe to win a whole bunch of games. You need a lot of luck when it comes to the playoffs because you have to run the table when you get there. I think the 49ers will get there. I think they are a Super Bowl contender for sure. And I think the 49ers fans should have been happy with a winning record and a playoff berth when the 49ers were 0-0. I think at this point, you still have to enjoy the ride, but I understand teams that might expect, you know, hey, okay, this is a good enough team. Let's go deep into the playoffs. But I think 49ers fans should overall be happy about this team getting into the playoffs, and a young team that has a bright future. Whatever happens this year, they could be better next year and even better the year after that. So enjoy the ride. What went wrong in the run game? How does it get fixed? The 49ers run game has been weird because they are either killing teams or they have a little bit of a rough time. And I think teams, we saw it with Seattle, they were doing their best to force the 49ers to throw the ball. They didn't want to get beat with the run first. So I think that's pretty telling. That teams are more scared of the 49ers running the ball and getting that going because that helps the pass game and that helps everything else, really, on offense. They forced the 49ers to beat them through the air without Kittle, without Sanders. The 49ers couldn't do that. So that's concerning. So I think that was more about the team they faced doing everything they can to stop the run and having beastly dudes that were really hurting the 49ers up front in their O-line. The other question here about the O-line, how does it get fixed? The 49ers O-line is fine. They have good players there. Maybe it was just that Jadeveon Clowney is that good and is a game-wrecking talent. But it's also true maybe that, yeah, maybe Joe Staley wasn't 100%, came back a little too soon. Maybe Mike McGlinchey not 100%, coming back a little bit too soon. They didn't have their football legs under him, maybe. I think the O-line is going to be fine. I think with the wide zone run game, sometimes it's either there or it's not. When you have a power scheme and you know you're with brute force trying to pound the ball on the ground, you have more 3-yard carries, you know, and you're slowly marching down the field. With the wide zone, sometimes it's like six yards, 11 yards, 5 yards, zero, you know, 6, 11. So it evens out. But when you're getting more zeros and those lanes, those cutback lanes aren't there, and you're not getting those big runs to go along with it, then you can have some problems. And I think that's what we're seeing right now is teams, first of all, have a lot of film and know how to try to thwart the 49ers run game. And I think we'll see more and more teams stack the box, try to beat the 49ers by stopping the run, and then seeing in third and long if they can cover some people. And it's going to be tough for the 49ers, and it's going to be a lot on Jimmy Garoppolo, and some of these other wide receivers got to step up. You can't have nine drops. I mean, let's face it, everyone wants to put it on Jimmy Garoppolo. If you don't have nine drops in that game, even if you only drop five balls instead of nine balls, the 49ers win that game in regulation. It doesn't even go to OT. Let's go back to wide receiver for a second. Eric says, I feel like no one is talking about Amari Cooper as a free agent next year. If Dak gets the tag, then he's unrestricted, right? Will they go after him? Yeah, that's the thing. Obviously, if they use their tag on Dak Prescott, then Amari Cooper can't get tagged. I don't know if they can tag Dak, then sign Amari Cooper. They already paid Zeke a lot of money on offense there. They might have to choose. And if they have to choose, they'll probably choose quarterback over wide receiver. But Amari Cooper makes such a big difference to that offense in Dallas, which is the reason I think the 49ers would go after Amari Cooper, because of the difference he could make. And if you go after Amari, maybe that's because you don't re-sign Emmanuel Sanders. You want a younger player there that can make that same impact. If I had to guess, I would say the 49ers sign Emmanuel Sanders to a 2 or 3 year deal or something like that, and hope the other guys develop. Maybe still draft another wide receiver in the mid rounds to develop. But Amari Cooper is absolutely someone that the 49ers are going to try to get. I don't think the 49ers are afraid to spend. I think the 49ers tried to trade for Odell Beckham for the same reason that they would try to sign Amari Cooper. And they do need a veteran game-changing presence on offense in the pass game. Aside from George Kittle, they need a guy on the outside that they can count on, that can be the guy. Because right now, I think everybody else are depth pieces, and you might have some twos and threes and fours on the roster currently. If Sanders walks or they decide to go younger, Amari Cooper could make a ton of sense. It's a little bit early to talk about that now, because he's still got to get out of Dallas. He's still got to want to come to San Francisco. There's going to be a ton of people throwing a ton of money at him, so it's going to be expensive. My guess, it's Sanders, and it's almost the same wide receiver group we have right now, and you hope that Debo becomes really that dude the rest of the way. If Sanders walks or the 49ers decide to go another direction, Amari Cooper is a very interesting name that the 49ers at worst have to throw a couple phone calls his agent's way. And Nick brings up a name that's easy for some people to forget because he's been on IR all season, but could be getting close, has been doing some work, I think, on the practice field, running around a little bit, out with a back injury, a stress fracture in his back all season. Rookie wide receiver Jalen Hurd. Nick asks, how important is Jalen Hurd after Monday night? My answer to that would be, how important is he to 2019? Maybe not very important at all. I have no idea what to expect from Jalen Hurd. A lot of the hype and expectation around Hurd, I mean, he was a third round draft pick, obviously. He's built differently than all the other 49ers wide receivers. He's 6'4", but he had two catches in the preseason, and it got people really excited about it. One of those plays he got hurt on, the one where he tried to bowl over the defender, which is why you want a big wide receiver, and he's an imposing figure, but he hurt himself just trying to run through a DB and get in the end zone in a preseason game. He's a rookie. He had 1 year of experience playing wide receiver in college. He was a running back otherwise. I don't know. We've seen how tough it's been for Debo to really get his legs under him and be a consistent player. There's so much to playing wide receiver in the NFL and in Kyle Shanahan's offense that's from the neck up, and that's difficult. How can you be ready to go without those reps? And right now he's lost so much of the season. It's hard to believe he could be ready in the next few weeks to contribute a lot, maybe some packages here and there. We've seen how hard it is for Dante Pettis in year two now, still isn't that consistent player. I don't think you should expect anything at all from Jalen Hurd. Maybe even he doesn't get activated. I don't know. But if he does get activated, it'll be fun to watch and see who he is. I think he's more important next year. When I talked about with that last question about how the 49ers might just re-sign Sanders and come back with mostly the same group, then I think you'd be looking at, okay, you got Sanders 1, Debo 2. Now you're hoping Jalen Hurd becomes that beast. And maybe you get Trent Taylor back too. And you have some other weapons that look a little bit different. And that wide receiver group could be a ton better without adding anybody else in 2020. I don't know if we can expect anything at this point from Jalen Hurd or Trent Taylor coming off of IR. But you do cross your fingers and hope that those guys can come back. On that same note, I do want to add, multiple people did ask about a wide receiver that the Browns recently released, Antonio Callaway, who is a really athletic guy. He was drafted 2 years ago, by the Browns. Tons of problems in college, character stuff off the field. The Browns obviously released him for a reason. He's athletic, yes, but easy answer is no for me to bring him in because he hasn't proven he's a good NFL player. First of all, he's athletic, but what do? You have to get rid of somebody else. He's not going to come in immediately, learn the offense, and give you any sort of an impact this year. And if he's a pain in the ass, then it just makes zero sense on top of that to bring him in. I'd much rather see Hurd come off of IR, see what you got there with a young, physically imposing player. Fia Eva, 22, a little bit upset about that Monday Night Football loss, says Kyle Shanahan seems to shy away from the run game when the S hits the fan. It showed in Atlanta in the Super Bowl. And last night with 150 remaining in overtime, why not run the entire clock out, tie the game instead of losing the ball game? And I get trusting the defense, but come on, man. I understand the frustration there. Kyle Shanahan's response, there's two things. And it's funny because a lot of the players, and of course they do inside the locker room, oh, you got to go and play for the win. Got to play for the win. Got to play for the win. Just because you play to not lose doesn't mean you're not playing for the win. You can do both at the same time. So I think they're playing both sides of the fence. Kyle Shanahan, after the fact, said, well, if I'd have known it would have been three incomplete passes, I would have just knelt down three times. So that's not playing for the win either. So he knows that he would have done it differently knowing the outcome. But at the same time, instead of running the ball, what he thought he had called were, at least on first and second down, two very, very, very high percentage, easily completable passes. It just happened that they got batted down and it didn't happen. And they were incomplete. And so it did stop the clock. I think maybe after the first one, because it makes sense. Like, I get what Kyle Shanahan's trying to do there. He's essentially calling a run by not calling a run. He doesn't want to make it too obvious. If we run the ball for 0 yards, that doesn't help us win as much as if we kind of got a pass out here on the side. So let's do a high percentage pass instead of running the ball. That makes sense on first down. Maybe second down, you still are like, okay, crap, now we have to run the ball. The quote-unquote playing to win part, well, you got a loss. So what the hell, right? It's you're not playing to tie just because you run the ball one time. Hearing Shanahan's explanation makes sense. High percentage throw on first down, get the clock running, get a few yards rather than potentially 0 yards when they're stacking against the run. So if anything, my quibble would be second down. You got to get the clock running. You got to run the ball. Suck it up because the first down play didn't work. Coming up, the 49ers' 5 keys to victory. Week 11 against the Arizona Cardinals. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use promo code Locked On during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/lockedon. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment. And if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find them online at gregstaxservice.com. Real quick, before the keys to victory, there's so many good questions. I want to get to a couple more rapid fire. Team asks, looking at the schedule the rest of the season, how many wins do you think it will take for us to win the following? 1, make the playoffs. 2, NFC West. 3, secure a bye. And 4, home field throughout. That's tough. I think home field throughout, you're going to have 13 wins right now in the NFC. It's going to be tough. And there's going to be teams that win 10 games, I think, that don't even make the playoffs. So the 49ers still have some work to do here. 2 or 3 more wins to really solidify what they're going to do. I think maybe 12 to win the West, 13 for home field advantage. I think basically securing a bye and home field is going to be very close. Maybe it comes down to a tiebreaker with 12 wins or 13 can get you all the way through. And then making the playoffs, you got to have 11. Got to have at least 11 wins, I think, to make the playoffs right now and be confident coming out of week 17 that you're a playoff team. It's going to take 11. The NFC's tough. An email from Aaron says, it's Richie James time. I fully agree with you, Aaron. Talked about it a lot with Nick on Thursday's show. If you want to hear my diatribe about the wide receiver usage with the 49ers, go check it out. It's absolutely Richie James time. I would put him in as the number three receiver after Sanders and Debo this week. Let him roll. See what you got. If Sanders doesn't play, Richie James is number two, in my opinion. Start him. Play him on the outside. Play him in the slot. Whatever you got to do. Let him try to make some plays. And we'll finish up with my guy, Tyrone, a frequent emailer to the show. Says, what's up, BP? Want to start by saying this is the number one podcast any 49er fan can listen to, period. Thank you so much, Tyrone. I appreciate that. Second, I want to say, love you, but we do not hand out game balls to the opposing team at all. And finally, is any receiver on our roster besides Debo and Emmanuel Sanders full game dependable? To answer the last one first, no, nobody's proven to be dependable, even Debo with some drops and still on that rookie learning curve, but I've got a lot of hopes for him, and you've seen so much promise from him, and I love the attitude, and he finished that game strong, came back from a bad drop to play well at the end of that game. I loved seeing that from Debo, so I think he will become dependable, and really nobody else you can rely on at this point. So I want to see Richie James because he's gotten the least opportunity of those guys. And, right, yeah, no, I definitely did not give a game ball out to Russell Wilson or Jadeveon Clowney. I just gave them an honorable mention because they deserved being mentioned, and I had talked so much about the quarterbacks, I had to talk a little bit more about Clowney there. So, yeah, I agree. You can't be giving out game balls to Seahawks on a 49ers podcast. I'm with you, Tyrone. All right, let's get to those keys to victory. Number five key to victory against the Arizona Cardinals in Week 11. No letdown after suffering the first defeat last week on Monday Night Football. It's a short week. It's a long, grueling overtime loss you suffered. It's a long, grueling season. Mentally, you can't dwell on the loss, and physically, you've got to get up very quickly again after a long game, and there's a bunch of dudes that are dinged up. The injury list is as long as we've seen it all season long. A bunch of people limited in practice. Might be difficult to get up for a game 6 days later, both physically and mentally. You got to jump back up. You got to play angry. You got to bounce back and have a big win here in Week 11 against a team that you are obviously better than, that you just beat a couple of weeks before. Number four key to victory is depth. And there's a couple elements to this. Number one, no more injuries. Like, right? The 49ers are really banged up right now. They can't afford to start losing a bunch more guys. They've already had so many starters out this season, and those guys have done so well stepping up, and now more dudes are going to have to step up. We've seen Justin School play well at left tackle for Joe Staley. He's going to be back in there while Staley's out the next couple of weeks. We've seen it from Brunskill at right tackle. Brunskill could jump in at guard if they need. Loved what I saw from him. Emmanuel Mosley has been just outstanding, flat out beast out there at right cornerback. Probably the biggest surprise of all of them of how good he's played. He's been unreal at corner. Dre Greenlaw, the biggest play of the game probably last week. That was massive seeing him in coverage, especially jumping in for Quan Alexander. That was fun to see. You hope Azeez Al-Shaair is going to get cleared from his concussion protocol and can help out at linebacker in this game because they're getting razor thin there at linebacker. And even more guys might have to step up now after Ronald Blair goes to IR. After DJ Jones has that groin injury, he's not going to be able to play this week, it looks like. So Julian Taylor, is he going to be up? I would like to see Julian Taylor, actually, and potentially he could get a ton of run at defensive tackle because that would, I think he would be a big, and probably after DJ Jones, next most stout, biggest, strongest guy that you could plug in a defensive tackle trying to plug that run game. And Kenyon Drake had some success against the 49ers a couple weeks ago on Thursday night. So Julian Taylor could play a big role against the run in this game. Demontre Moore, he was signed by the 49ers. Is he going to be active? Is he going to take Ronald Blair's job as the number three nickel edge rusher? So the depth has proven to be really effective for the 49ers this season, more than I expected them to have. That has to continue the rest of the way, really. And this week we're going to see even more guys need to show up. Number three, where did the run game go? The 49ers have to get back to what they did early in the season and dominate on the ground and really hurt people in the run game, keep the ball moving, keep that offense going. It was nice to see Jimmy Garoppolo have his best game this year against the Cardinals. Can he do it without Kittle? Can he do it without Sanders? The 49ers might have to lean more on the ground game if they can't count on those other receivers. And you know the Cardinals are going to come out and their number one priority is going to be to stop the run. So, you know, and people tend to put everything on the running back. The ground game's working. People are like, hey, this running back so-and-so is great. Ground game struggles. Hey, this running back is trash. And that's definitely not the case. The running back is almost the last person to point your finger at, either in praise or in blame when the ground game isn't going well. The scheme and the offensive line and what the defense is doing against you are all more important. So those are all the factors there that the 49ers have to get right. Number two, Jimmy Garoppolo, be better. He needs to get well. This has to be his get well game against Arizona like it was just a couple of weeks ago. And look, not everything is Garoppolo's fault, but he needs to be sharper to beat good teams. Too many turnovers, that's fair, whether it's interceptions or fumbles, missing some throws, especially in that intermediate area, because that's been Jimmy Garoppolo's biggest strength is he throws dimes in the intermediate range. And he hasn't been exactly on point there this season, week to week. Some games good, some games a little bit off, it seems like. Also not pulling the trigger or completely not seeing some open receivers. Basically, Jimmy Garoppolo right now is playing like a talented guy who is starting his second year as an NFL quarterback, which matches his playing time. This is, what, 17th start for San Francisco for Jimmy Garoppolo? So he's essentially a second-year starter right now in the NFL. Usually a guy who just turned 28 years old, which he just did a couple weeks ago, I mean, that's a unique case because usually a guy who's 28 in the NFL is what he is. How much better can Jimmy Garoppolo get with game reps? I think there's still a lot more there, and I think the entire offense, as those wide receivers develop and Jimmy Garoppolo gets those game reps that he hasn't been able to accumulate over the course of his NFL career so far, I think Jimmy Garoppolo can get a lot better than most 28-year-olds you see, and I think his work with Shanahan, his work with receivers is only going to continue to grow. Where that ceiling is, I have no idea, but I think he will get more consistent. Even though Jimmy Garoppolo can get better, he has played well overall considering the 49ers are winning games with him at quarterback, and the Seahawks loss was not all on him, which brings me to number one key to victory against the Arizona Cardinals in Week 11, the wide receivers. And somewhat tight ends, too, that are going to have to help out without George Kittle in there if he doesn't get to play. Catch the damn ball. Help out your quarterback. When he puts it where it needs to be, you got to help him out. You got to catch that football. That was one of the worst showings I've seen from 49ers wide receivers as far as drops and not helping out their quarterback last week. There was definitely some high throws that were difficult that you would count as drops, but there's one to Goodwin especially. It's like, you know, that's a tough catch. So I don't know if you want to consider that 100% a drop. Some of that is on the quarterback, but there was some that's just right there, and you got to bring that ball in. You got to help your team. The health of Emmanuel Sanders, especially George Kittle, are key, obviously. Be nice to have one of those guys out there at least. And to me, it's pretty clear George Kittle is the most important guy on offense, you know, aside from quarterback. And give Richie James a look for the love of God. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he falls flat on his face. But I want to see that get proven because I have a feeling he would make plays for the 49ers. And you don't want to just kick everybody aside, you know, a couple of ugly drops here and there. You don't want to just crush the players who are already getting a lot of playing time. But I think Richie James had deserved it already. And if the other guys aren't stepping up, let's see what you got there. Give him a shot. So that's key to victory number one for the 49ers, especially if Kittle and Sanders can't play the rest of those pass catchers. Someone's got to step up. Someone's got to make some plays. Out of time here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the Twitter questions. Thanks for all the emails. Be back Monday to break everything down right here. Locked On 49ers.